This is Jay Sekulow. The administration changes its story regarding the Benghazi attack.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
ABC News has learned that although Eric Nordstrom and the commander of an American security team also in Libya had heard that foreign fighters were flowing across the Egyptian border, State Department officials seemed oblivious to the Benghazi consulate's vulnerability. Senior State Department officials now acknowledge that only an hour before gunmen methodically and deliberately stormed the compound, killing Ambassador Chris Stevens, the streets were empty and things were calm.
Stunning new revelations in the investigation into the terror attacks in Benghazi. The State Department is now saying that there was never any protest, in fact, outside that facility, putting them directly at odds with the reports from the White House.
The main headline out of that background briefing late last night was that there was no demonstration at the consulate in Benghazi before the strike. But here at Fox, we were first to report 6 days after the attack that there was no demonstration and that it came without warning. And this one piece of data was a critical detail that severely undercut the administration's narrative that this was somehow a demonstration inspired by what they saw in Cairo that spun out of control.
We believe that folks in Benghazi, a small number of people, came to the consulate to replicate the sort of challenge that was posed in Cairo. And then as that unfolded, it seems to have been hijacked, let us say, by some individual clusters of extremists.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. And let me just say at the beginning here, we still mourn and will continue to mourn the loss of our ambassador and the others that were killed in Benghazi. But the administration's latest explanation, which is now, of course, showing exactly what we've been saying and a lot of media has been saying, and, of course, our people on the ground in our office in Jerusalem have been saying, there was no protest outside of the compound, the embassy in Benghazi. So what happened? The administration came out, blamed a movie that was really nothing but a YouTube video, and saying there was this giant protest outside the embassy, and then a few extremists hijacked that protest and created these acts of terror. Well, the end result is none of that was true. This was a premeditated terrorist attack, and the administration's explanation now is 24 hours before there's about to be a hearing, which we may break into during this broadcast, 24 hours before the hearing, they go to the State Department's newsroom and start saying, well, the truth of the matter is there were no protests going on. We got that wrong. So they had Susan Rice, the UN ambassador, all over television the weekend of the attack, giving out false, incorrect information. And I ask you this, folks, who's going to hold this administration responsible for this? Now, fortunately, the House Oversight Committee is going to be in hearing in a few moments. You're going to be hearing from Congressman Jim Jordan, who serves on that committee. He'll be with us for a portion of this broadcast and then in the latter 30 minutes as well. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Let me ask a very bold and blunt question here, folks. Do you think the administration just lied because of the politics of what was going on? Do you think that they knew that the repercussions of this and the ramifications were going to be so significant? David French is with me here in our studio, in our media center. David, your reaction. I'm going to get the others after the break to Skip and Fan, but David, your reaction when you heard this news yesterday. Of course, we knew this was coming.
Yeah, well, I mean, this was coming because there was just too much information out there contradicting the administration. And I think that they lied because the truth is so appalling here. There's a saying that it's not the crime, it's the cover-up, that usually the cover-up's worse than the crime. But in this case, the crime of their negligence and recklessness in Libya is worse even than this terrible cover-up.
Well, let me play for you very quickly here. Senator Bob Corker, he made this statement, number 11.
This was a terrorist act. I think most of us knew and thought it was a terrorist act from the very beginning. Now there are details that are coming out from the State Department that are saying that. And again, to me, this is all about a presidential election.
So that's the question, folks, I want to ask you. Do you think this is politics on the way this was handled? And how do you see this issue playing out politically as we are now 27 days away from the election of the next president of the United States? Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And then we've got the funding to Egypt. By the way, right now, it is not moving. And that's good news. Over 120,000 of you have signed online, another 20,000 on the phones. We're getting close to 150,000. Sign on to this petition today to stop the funding of Middle East terrorists, including the Muslim Brotherhood. Go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
At a time when America faces serious challenges abroad, there's a new push on Capitol Hill. A call to put the brakes on U.S. funding for Egypt. A request from congressional leaders to place a hold on nearly $500 million to a country where real questions remain about whether Islamic terrorists are at the controls of the new government there. This comes as Congress holds hearings to find the truth behind the security collapse in Libya, where terrorists believed to be Al-Qaeda assassinated our ambassador and three other Americans. The fact is, the United States provides billions of dollars each year to countries that are determined to destroy America. It's time to put an end to this revenue stream to the terrorists. Add your name now to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
So you got to ask yourself, why exactly did this administration tell a lie? Because that's whether you call it whatever you want. We're lawyers. We deal with the evidence. The evidence is the State Department comes clean yesterday because why? Well, Ben Bennett's going to tell you why. Why did they now announce that there was no major protests going on? There were no protests at all. This was a premeditated terrorist attack on Benghazi. Why is this administration now coming clean? Fan is our director of our governmental affairs. And we are, of course, about to start hearings that are underway right now or about to start. What's your sense, Than? What do we have?
It's crystal clear to me, Jay, that the reason they're coming clear now is exactly because this hearing is happening today. I mean, everyone who has looked at this, Jay, from the very beginning has known this was a terrorist attack. The State Department thought they could get away with denying it. But listen, this committee has the information. We can get into some of this testimony in a minute. But it was about to become public. It was about to become public at this oversight hearing. And so, Jay, the State Department had no choice but to come clean ahead of it to admit that they'd been essentially lying to the American people, because that's what the testimony is going to show today in just a couple of hours.
Folks, we've got some other information we want to share with you. You may not be getting a lot of this on some other media sources, but and that is, and I want David and Skip to address this. Are you ready for this? The requests were coming in for additional security assistance in Benghazi. We know that. You know who ended up giving the security? Ready for this one, David? Go ahead and tell the folks what happened here.
We hired a local militia.
The United States government.
Of shopkeepers and grocers. They were not even paid a salary. All they got was a food stipend of a few dollars a day. And that's what was protecting our ambassador to the, you know, the United States ambassador
to Libya.
In Libya, with foreign fighters infiltrating from Egypt. And that was known at the time.
We know the foreign fighters came in through Egypt as well.
Right, exactly.
Skip, you served in the military as well. David did also. You were a colonel. What could possibly be going on here?
Well, you know, it's to me, it's inexplicable because first, security on the ground of a diplomatic mission is normally the responsibility of the host nation. But Libya and Egypt right now are lawless, so they can't do it. And there had also been multiple incidents, you know, against the embassies, against diplomatic missions in Libya. And our State Department denied a request for a U.S. protection. And then we went with militias and this types of groups, and none of them are loyal to the government. So it is completely inexplicable why the President of the United States or the Secretary of State or anyone in the State Department would not have answered the request of an ambassador on the ground who felt that security was inadequate.
And then you have to ask yourself this question. So we didn't provide for security to some kind of reason that I'm still trying to figure out, to show normalcy, I guess is what they were trying to do here. But the reality is we are about to give $1.2 billion to the Egyptian government, and we run by the Muslim Brotherhood, and we know for a fact that those that came out into the Benghazi attacks came through Egypt. Now, folks, if that's bothering you a bit, that we're going to borrow money from the Chinese, give it to the Egyptian-led, Muslim Brotherhood-led Islamic government, and that's where the attackers came from, and you're saying to yourself, why in the world would we give them money? Well, here's the good news. You know how much of that $1.2 billion has been released so far? None, because of your protest. Over 150,000 of you have contacted us, 120,000 online alone, where our goal is to get to 200,000 by the end of this week. So what I need you to do, as we understand what happened in Benghazi, and that the entire administration statement there was not only incorrect, it was a lie. There were no protests going on. There were no protesters. This was a premeditated attack, a terrorist attack that came out of fighters coming out of Egypt. Our security were local merchants. But we're saying it's because we have no money, but we're going to give the Muslim Brotherhood government $1.2 billion with no guarantees, no assurances. If you want that stop, you go to your phones right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And we're going to go right to our phones right now. Fan, who do we have?
Let's go to Lavera calling from Washington on line 4. Lavera, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Well, that was my comment, is that they know that they left these people out to dry, and then when the murder happened, then they go and harass this one guy, even detaining him. Now they've been harassing him. Nobody's talking about that.
Well, I'm trying to figure out. This is, you know, we're lawyers. I like to piece the evidence together here, and David, I cannot figure out. Why are, I mean, I know the rationale, which was ridiculous. We're going to show everything's more normal by not having all this U.S. military presence there. But as Skip pointed out, both Egypt and Libya are not functional governments right now. So what's the possible rationale for this?
You know, I hate to say it, but it seems like we're coming back to that hope-based foreign policy, that the Arab Spring is somehow the birth of new Arab democracies instead of the birth of radical Islamic governments. And so you do this hope-based foreign policy that doesn't take a cold, clear-eyed, realistic look at the region and make decisions accordingly.
So, Than, what are we expecting to happen at the hearings today? Because this is obviously Chairman Issa is going to be very aggressive on this. And by the way, if you want to talk to us on air, it's 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Than, what are we expecting in moments? We may be able to break into it. It may not be able to get into it. It may be starting too late, but we will certainly have excerpts from it for the broadcast tomorrow. But what are we expecting in the next few minutes?
It's just getting underway. We don't have testimony yet, Jay, although I have read some of the testimony that's just been released. And listen, we're going to have a civil war of sorts within the State Department, because three of these witnesses are from the State Department. And what David just said about the truth being so bad they can't acknowledge it is exactly what you're going to see, because one of those guys, Eric Nordstrom, who works for the State Department, he was the regional security officer in Libya, he's going to testify that he twice asked for additional security. And then he's going to turn to one of the other witnesses and say, the reason I didn't get that request is because she, Deputy Secretary Charlene Lamb, said no because she wanted to keep those security levels artificially low. So, State Department officials, Jay, fighting.
Yeah, I think that's what you see. But Congressman Issa is speaking right now. Let's break in for a moment.
And for that panel to take up an additional challenge. There are hundreds and hundreds of facilities similar to this around the world. There are thousands of personnel serving this country who at any time, in any country, could be a target. Some of those are high risk and obvious, like Libya. Others may be lower risk. This committee is dedicated to ensure that security is
what really happened.
There you go. You've got it right there. And boy, I mean, you could tell this is going to be a power-packed couple of hours here with the State Department. By the way, John Bolton had an interesting assessment on this. Let's play number 17.
I think that there's a potential here for a real split between the career side of the State Department, who are not about to be blamed for this if they don't think they were responsible, the careerists on the one hand, and the Obama administration on the other.
So you're going to have a conflict here between the State Department and the White House, because the White House is the one. Remember, the President of the United States, I hope we have this. Let's find that audio where he goes to the United Nations and talks about that film. This is very, very, okay, we do have it. Let's play it.
There's no video that justifies an attack on an embassy. There's no slander that provides an excuse
for people.
Yeah,
to murder.
Yeah, there's no video that justifies it, Mr. President, because now your State Department's coming out and telling the truth. The video had nothing to do with this. This was a premeditated terrorist attack that those that were involved in it coming out of Egypt, a government, by the way, Mr. President, this is what you have to ask right now, that you're having Madeleine Albright go to the floor of the House of Representatives, meet with House members, pushing them to give unrestricted $1.2 billion of aid to Egypt with no conditions. That's what this administration is putting forward. And you wonder why the American people are aggravated about this? We had the opportunity to talk to Congressman Jim Jordan. He's going to be participating in this hearings in just a moment. Listen to what he had to say. Let's talk about Egypt first. You've co-authored a letter that we have been talking about a lot on the broadcast, and we've heard from, and I wanted to let you know this, Congressman, almost 150,000 people have contacted our office supporting your efforts on the situation with this funding of the Muslim Brotherhood-led government in Egypt. Tell us a little bit about the reason why this letter was created and what you see as the issue with Egypt right now.
Well, the issue is the Muslim Brotherhood runs the country, and there are now signs and signals that Egypt is sending that the treaty they have with our best ally, the State of Israel, there may be some question about that peace treaty that has existed since the late 70s. So that's the concern. You got a whole new administration, a whole new government in this country, and they're a terrorist organization. We lay out in the letter, look, we got to rethink this. In fact, I think if we could just in the broader context for a second, there's a couple things that I think Americans understand about foreign policy. One is peace through strength makes sense. You know, you want to have a strong sure. military. That's why Reagan understood it, and I think, frankly, in the context of this presidential campaign, we're getting at issue. Second is we need to remember our friends. And I think you can point to the treatment that the State of Israel, our best ally, has received with the current administration is very concerning. And then third is it's totally time to rethink foreign aid. I mean, it really is, not just Egypt, but completely rethink foreign aid. I got a colleague, Jay, who has a great line. He says, you know what, we don't have to pay people to hate us. They'll probably do it for free.
Right.
So we have to rethink this whole thing, and specifically with Egypt, we have to set certain parameters, certain conditions before you're going to get American tax dollars in light of the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood now runs your country.
Well, there you have it. I don't think it could be any clearer that you got the Muslim Brotherhood running your country, and we've got the administration begging for aid and telling a falsehood regarding the attacks in Benghazi. Here's what I want everybody to do. We have got this on hold right now, and you got an election in 27 days. If we can keep this pressure up, this money will not get released to the Muslim Brotherhood Islamic regime. That's what they are. If we continue to fight on this without conditions. So you go to your phones right now, folks. Add your name to this petition, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Again, the number is 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Signing a petition that is saying very clearly we are not going to support Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood government, especially with no conditions. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, ACLJ.org. At a time when America faces serious challenges abroad, there's a new push on Capitol Hill, a call to put the brakes on U.S. funding for Egypt, a request from congressional leaders to place a hold on nearly $500 million to a country where real questions remain about whether Islamic terrorists are at the controls of the new government there. This comes as Congress holds hearings to find the truth behind the security collapse in Libya, where terrorists believed to be Al-Qaeda assassinated our ambassador and three other Americans. The fact is, the United States provides billions of dollars each year to countries that are determined to destroy America.
It's time to put an end to this revenue stream to the terrorists. Add your name now to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. By the way, we're going to have more from Congressman Jordan later in the broadcast, and I want to encourage you to be engaged. I just got a tweet or an email, actually, from a good friend of ours who was on the broadcast yesterday, Andy McCarthy. Interesting, last week in Cairo, there was a meeting, and the Hamas chief, Khalid Mashal, was giving a fiery speech, again calling for violent jihad against Israel. His host, President Morsi's leadership team from the Muslim Brotherhood, who were all agreeing with him. Now, I want you to think about this. They're calling for the destruction of Israel, and we want to hand over to them $1.2 billion. And, David, if I've got my facts right here, and Skip, most of that money is for military.
Right. That's traditionally been what we have paid for. And, you know, and it comes on the heels of news that Egypt is trying to buy some $500 million submarines from Germany, I mean, to dramatically increase their military capability, even as the Muslim Brotherhood takes control.
And, Skip, that was fine when they were an ally, and they were an ally of Israel, but we cannot no longer assume that they are an ally because they are right now not acting like an ally to the United States or Israel, that's for sure.
That's exactly right. What we had is we were keeping their army a good army, and that army was maintaining the power of the Mubarak regime, which was keeping the Islamists under control. Now we have an army where the more secular officers have been relieved and been replaced by Islamists themselves. We also, just a week ago, I think President Morsi was in the Sinai saying he was no longer going to suppress those who were trying to attack Israel along the border. So we can expect a lot more violence between the Sinai Desert and Israel. So just as they're going to Libya, they're also going in the other direction towards Israel. So it's the whole situation is becoming more destabilized.
All right, let's go right back to our phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Than, who do we have next?
Let's go to Bob calling from California on line 4. Bob, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Bob.
After hearing all this, I think we Christians should pray and fast for these elections. This is incredible what I'm hearing. But my question is, they knew, it's coming out on Fox News, that they knew an attack was coming. Why didn't they have more security, and why were the Marines told not to use live bullets?
Yeah, you know, well, a lot of this now we're finding out was, you know, the State Department was trying to create this image of normalcy. And Than, what I'm sure we're going to get into that today. What is the State Department's response to this, and what were they trying to do?
It depends who you're talking to at the State Department, Jay. I really think there are two factions here. I think there are career professionals over there who knew this was coming, who knew this was a threat, and who warned the political folks here in D.C. And, Jay, what happened is the political folks here in D.C., led by Hillary Clinton, Susan Rice, and the others, they made a political calculation that they did not want the bad PR of additional security in Libya, so they denied those requests. I think it's going to be on full display at this hearing. It's going to be very bad for the administration, and rightfully so.
Well, let me play number 12. This is Congressman Darrell Issa being asked by Bill Hemmer about have the American people been misled here. Listen to what he has to say.
Do you believe the administration misled you and the American people?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question is that at least by the time that Ambassador Rice made her outlandish statements, everyone seemed to know that it just wasn't true. That becomes the real question of why in the world would an ambassador make a statement that was not supported even a few hours after the attack?
That's the answer that no one can figure out what the administration was thinking. And then the president of the United States, folks, I want you to think about this for a moment. The president of the United States went to the UN talking about that ridiculous YouTube video when we all know that there was nothing to do with any of this. The YouTube video had nothing to do with these attacks. That was nonsense. The administration knew it. But the president of the United States goes to the floor of the United Nations and says, we deplore this video that caused this unrest. How about we deplore giving money to Egypt, who's going to then use it for military actions against Israel? Or how about we deplore the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood-led government invited in Hezbollah and Hamas and the Hamas chief to give a speech calling for jihad against Israel, and President Morsi's people are sitting there shaking their heads in agreement while they're asking for $1.2 billion of aid, and the administration has Madeleine Albright out basically trying to demand that this aid go with no conditions. Now, if that's got you incensed, then instead of just being incensed, take some direct action here, folks, because right now we're winning. We're winning this issue. That money's not being released. But if we got to keep this pressure up, and that's where you come in, you go to ACLJ.org to sign that petition. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Robert Gibbs trying to defend Susan Rice. Listen to number 10.
Obviously, every step of this and every day you learn more about what happened when you peel back the intelligence and you peel back the information that we get. But again, I think it's important to understand that Susan Rice would not have gone out there and in any way tried to deliberately mislead anybody.
Well, you know what? Everybody knew before she said it was ridiculous. So take that for what it's worth. We're taking more calls. 1-800-684-3110. By the way, we'll be here for the next half hour as well, taking your calls. 800-684-3110. Who do we have next?
Linda is calling from Maryland on line one. Linda, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Jay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you great.
I want to say God bless you, but what is your opinion about now the truth is coming out? Do you think Hillary Clinton would be forced to resign so the White House looks good?
No, I don't think so, because I think the Secretary of State's office, the State Department's the one that's saying that they know what's going on here. I think you could tell that she's not been happy with this. Also, there's only 27 days left to an election. I don't think anybody's resigning. But I'll quickly bat that around the horn. But I don't think so. I think reality is that the State Department's coming clean on this. It's amazing, though, that Susan Rice made those statements, by the way, 5 days after the attack. I mean, you got to be cognizant of that. 5 days after the attack. But I don't see David and Skip and Than. I don't see, go to David first, anybody resigning here. I think the reality is this is going to be affected at the ballot box.
Right. I mean, the ballot box is the key here. And, Hillary Clinton may leave, may resign at some point, but it's not going to be before this election. It's rare that a Secretary of State stays for two full terms of a president. So, she may go at some point, but it won't be now, certainly.
What do you think, Skip?
I don't think she's going to go either, but I also think that's why Susan Rice was on there and not her. I think she would not go out and say these things because she knew better.
Yeah. And Than, what do you expect politically coming out of these hearings today?
Well, I think this is just the start of the investigation. And, I mean, the caller brought up Hillary Clinton. I will tell you, Jay, that Daryl Issa said this morning that he wants to cooperate with the secretary. But if these hearings today lend evidence that she might have additional information, he may call her before the committee. So I agree with the other guy. She's probably not going to resign over this. But I do think she's going to have to answer more questions. The chairman said as much this morning.
Well, I'll tell you, I think it's going to be fascinating as this thing moves ahead. Hey, coming up on the broadcast, folks, by the way, we're going to have a full conversation with Congressman Jim Jordan, who is serving on the committee that's asking the questions in just a few moments. We're also going to be taking your phone call. So if you're on the line, I want to encourage you to stay on that line. Now, here's what we've got. We've got right now about 150,000 people. It's a lot of folks that have contacted us. I let the congressman know that too, by the way. You heard that on the interview. That are saying, don't let that money go to Egypt without conditions. And here's the good news. So far, that money's not going anywhere. And I'm hopeful that if we keep this pressure up, we could see success. You got a 27-day window here. That's the time to the election. So the pressure needs to stay up. So I want to encourage you to do this, folks. If you've not yet signed on to this petition, I want you to be part of the team that helps money not go to the Muslim Brotherhood for military hardware to be used against Israel. That's what we're talking about. So I want you to go to your phones right now and call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Now, you can also sign that petition to say do not send that money to the Muslim Brotherhood at ACLJ.org. So it's either ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We're keeping the pressure up. You got to do the same. We need your help on this. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
The fact is, the United States provides billions of dollars each year to countries that are determined to destroy America. It's time to put an end to this revenue stream to the terrorists. Add your name now to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.org.